rich young ruler and says, Master, what must I do to have eternal life? When you're good-looking, intelligent, fit, and rich, I'm not sure you need God. In some people's mind, you are God. Woo! In some people's mind, we idolize people like that. Now, I can't help it that I'm marvelously good-looking, except for this little scar right there. I'm not saying that it's bad to be these things, but I'm saying that if our concept is off, and these are the things that we think are the highest on God's mind, we're wrong. The highest at the top of the pyramid is that our character be changed. The rich young ruler slid in on his knees, knew just how to do it, and he said, what must I do? And Jesus said, from my youth, I've done everything right. I gave, I tithed, I served, I this, I that, I everything. Dentist all the time. Doctor appointments. Never got pinned. Jesus said, you've done well. Now then, you've done well. You're prosperous. Now then, let me tell you what the next step of prosperity is. Okay, I'm ready. He said, give it away. Say what? He said, give it away. What kind of nonsense is that? I've sowed all these seeds. I've done everything right to get this prosperity, and you're telling me now to give it away? Jesus said, yes, if you would, you would understand what real prosperity is. Woo-hoo. Real prosperity is the freedom to give it away because you believe it will come back. Pressed down, overflowing, will men give into your bosom because you're not afraid. And the rich young ruler's face, the Bible says, fell. That's before Facebook. That's a face fall. That's what it is in NIV. It says his face fell. How many of you could do that? Could you do that? Oh, my. And he walked away miserable. The one percenter had everything. He even had his slide down into Jesus and was cut to the quick. Prosperity is a wonder and a blessing of God, that we be the head and not the tail, that he leads us and guides us, and that these curses are not upon our life. But I want to tell you, behind the pathway of God, there is a desire in the heart of God that we be changed in our spirit and in our heart and in our mind. And in order to do that, sometimes some things have to be a little off kilter in our life. Sometimes things have to be shaken up. Sometimes our pretty world has to be clouded. Hey, I was reading back to CMR. Where's she at? There she is. Back to CMR. How'd they beat those guys? There's some guy vining. The Bible. The newspaper says he was shooting from 35 feet away. You ball players, you know how the top of the circle, that's 20 feet. 35 feet is over at the belt store over there. You don't shoot like that even in the, except this Curry guy. You know, poo! Poo! When things are going good, I mean, you cannot beat a team where you can shoot from 35 feet and make them. You can't beat it. No wonder they won. When things are going right in our life, most of the time we don't even care why they're going right. We just know they're going right. Keep it. Come on. I deserve this. I must be doing something right. When things are going right, we're not too worried about understanding. But when things are wrong, at halftime you're going, what are we doing wrong? And you start going down the list. These are the things we're doing wrong. We're behind. And when your life and my life, situations come, and all of a sudden we're in a type of mess, We begin to search our souls and open ourselves up to say, God, now take a little better look at me. What is it that I'm missing? And the Holy Spirit is more than happy to do that. To place His character in our spirits above all else. God is at work in each of us, and not understanding is normal Christian life. If you don't understand what's going on with you, don't think there's something wrong with you. It's normal Christian life to not understand. Isaiah 55:9. I just need to turn to it because I will not quote it right. Isaiah 55, if you don't understand, it's normal Christianity. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Well, I thought God thought like I did. In some cases, He does, but in other cases, He's beyond you. I know that might be hard to accept. I was looking at a tree in Seattle the other day that I remember pruning or trimming or whatever, back to Matt's sermon. And I saw how the growth had come from it. Here's a tree. Here comes the pruner. Ow, that hurts. How many of you know trees are alive? Sort of. Don't leave the church. And so you see that pruner stands there talking to the tree. Now, I'm doing this for your own good. This hurts me. Stickers. Where are my stickers? The tree doesn't understand it because the tree cannot speak English. So the tree has to just allow it to happen. And the gardener's talking to it, trying to explain. Yeah, you're going to be a little ugly for a while, but it's going to be better. You're going to be healthier. You're going to grow right. The language of the trimmer is higher than the tree. The language of God is higher than you and me. And we strive to understand, why is this happening in my relationship? Why is this happening in my job? Why is this happening in my life? Why did this happen to my dream? Why did this happen to my direction? Why, God, did you allow it? I'd like to get through this once without boo-hooing. I think of our brother Harry there, who you've heard the story, but I'm telling you again. A young man, when his wife was pregnant, couldn't find anybody to deliver the children, so he delivered him himself. Bless his heart. And they both died. Can you accept this morning that good things bad things happen to good people? Can you see that in the highness of thought and in the depth of God and in the depth of Jesus, they said, Lazarus is sick and he's dying, and Jesus said, I'm going to wait this one out. Isaac, upon the altar, Isaac says, I don't understand this, Dad. What are you doing? Abraham didn't know what to say, but he said, I'm just doing what God told me to do. Lay down on the altar, Isaac. Do what? Lay on the altar. Mark Rubio. Joseph tossed down in a well that was empty by his jealous brothers. We can't do that. Let's sell him into slavery. All of his family went one way and Joseph went another. God wouldn't allow that. God is a God of love and mercy and all those good stuff. He wouldn't allow me to suffer like this. Lazarus said, I'm dying here. Did you talk? Did you send the message? Yes, Jesus knows. Well, I'm dying. I hope He comes quickly, and Jesus delays. Jonathan, between the love for his father and the love for his friend, is put in an unwinnable situation. How can you not stand up, Jonathan, and take your rightful spot? Why do you allow this David to affect you this way? And Jonathan throws everything in a miss. And the followers of Jesus, what a roller coaster ride they were on. Jesus shows up on the scene, as you know, and he's the Son of God. And miracles happen. Lives are changed. And the disciples, they're so excited they can't see straight. I can't believe it. Then comes what's coming up in a couple weeks, the triumphant entry, Hosannas into Jerusalem. They backed the right horse. They backed, this guy was a winner. And the disciples were walking in hallelujah. And they took their coats off and put it before the colt that Jesus rode on. Oh, I can see it. Zechariah 9:9 says, he will enter on a colt, on the back of a colt. And the disciples knew that, and when Jesus said to him, he said, now listen, I think it's Matthew 21, he said, somebody go ahead to the next town and ask them for that colt that's tied up. And when they say, what are you doing with our colt? Tell them the Lord wants it. That's all. You got to be kidding. Because if he gets on the colt, he is saying, I am the one. If he rides into Jerusalem on the colt, he is saying, I am the one. I am the Son of God. And they bring the colt back. They put their coats on the colt. And Jesus sits. Woo! The disciples had to be beside themselves. My God in heaven, he is the Messiah. He's willing to declare it. And they go off to town. Hosanna. Only to watch Jesus soon be crucified. And they go from triumph to terror and hiding in their own soul. Then he's resurrected and they're back excited. Then he ascends to heaven and they're all, what do we do now? Then the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes and they're empowered. And a few days down the road, the persecution comes. And some choose, yes, they chose to go towards the lions. And others chose to leave. If things aren't always smooth in your life, you are living the normal Christian life. Contrary to what anybody on TV says, or anywhere else, in this world, you will have what? Issues, yeah. Well, we'll end here. Close. Does he mean really end, or is that just a fake? No, I'm close. When a preacher says he's going to end here, that means it's close. Proverbs 3:5. What do you do when you don't understand? This is a scripture my mother would always start her testimony on. You've heard me say this before. She's short, so she stands up in church and nobody would know she was standing up. Her head's about like this, and nobody knows that she's even standing. So she would start this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding in all of your ways. And about the time she'd get there, people say, is somebody saying something? That's how she would start up. And then she would launch into testimony. I had a mother that was a testimonier. That's the way she would. My dad wouldn't say a word. I had a mother who would both give tongues and interpret. My dad wouldn't say a word. Women in ministry, amen? Woo! When we're in the fog, like I was driving out here this morning, thank God for that center line that leave on the road. It's like, it's dark and it's foggy and it's snowy.